Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Dr. Paul Kanger, who is a professor at Grove City College. He's a best-selling author, and he's also a columnist. His work is seen all over the place, including American Spectator. Here's an article he wrote recently that we want to hone in on. Bernie's Billionaires. Fidel was one of his models. Listen how this starts, and this is by Paul Kanger, our guest today. "We have no reason to create millionaires," declared Fidel Castro to his Politburo. "We fight not to create millionaires," end quote. Castro, for the record, was much more than a millionaire. In 2006, Forbes magazine estimated his net worth at $900 million and rising, and then jumping down, it says this, "And yet, all Cuban workers, from doctors to teachers, baseball players, dentists, farmers, janitors, subsisted at a mandated living wage of $1,200 per year, while the Castro brothers and a close-knit band of apparatchiks literally owned the island." Oh, my goodness. And this is so amazing because we've got politicians today running for president and running for various offices basically touting this kind of thing. We need to fair, you know, the rich need to pay their fair share, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Paul, I'm going to let you wax eloquent, but what an amazing article. People need to realize this kind of stuff. Welcome back to the program.
That's right. Yeah, thank you, Jerry. That's right. People do need to realize it, and Bernie Sanders was an admirer.
Of Castro.
Castro.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, of Castro's Cuba, and I quote in the article an August 1985 interview where Bernie said, "In 1968 we invaded Cuba, and everybody was totally convinced that Castro was the worst guy in the world," right? And it's like, well, he was the worst guy in the world, right? Or at least one of the worst guys. And, you know, and Bernie, and this is typical of so many people on the left, right? He said, you know, "Those people, they forgot that Castro educated their kids, gave their kids health care, that he totally transformed society," right? And this is a common thing that you hear among the left. It's like, you know, all sins are forgiven at the altar of a socialist, mm-hmm, who nationalizes health care and provides quote-unquote free education. But, you know, America provides free public education. I mean, it's not really free. You pay for it with your tax dollars. They do in Cuba, too. You know, the Brits provide government health care. The French do. Most of Western Europe does. The Canadians do. They're not running totalitarian communist societies where the country is run by a dictator who's worth almost $1 billion, and then everybody else in society makes $1,200 per year mandated wage. But it's typical of somebody like a Bernie Sanders to speak this way admiringly of something like Castro's Cuba.
Yeah, I love the way you write, Paul. Let me quote again from you. "Yes, American progressives and Occupy Wall Street maniacs, if you want to see a society of true one percenters with an income gap that would make you cry into your Starbucks cup, go to a Marxist country. There, 99% of the masses make the same poverty wage while 1% confiscate wealth and property. But hey, at least the serfs have free education and health care." That's the ridiculous retort of the American left, including Bernie Sanders. I love the way you write this stuff, Paul.
Well, thank you. And of course, the connection now that I'm making is that whereas Fidel had said there should be no millionaires, we fight not to create millionaires, quite amazingly, Bernie Sanders now has a slogan. He says there should be no billionaires. And you can actually get through the Bernie campaign website a no billionaires bumper sticker. And you just have to wonder. I mean, you know, I don't have any particular, you know, fondness or sympathy for anybody who's a billionaire, Jerry. I don't know anybody, but I mean, gee, if you earn $1 billion, you know, you're not stealing it like Castro did, right? Why does Bernie want to eliminate you? Or eliminate your wealth, or see to it that you can't be a billionaire? And by the way, that's a good question right there. What would you do with the billionaires to end their billionaire status, right? Are you just going to take away all the money that they make, over $999 million? Are you going to tax it a certain way? And actually, the answer, according to his plan, is that there would be a certain percentage of taxation, starting around $12 million or $16 million or something or whatever, that by the time you got to wherever, it would demote you from your billionaire status and push you, I guess, just a couple pennies under $1 billion. And you have to wonder about that, too. Well, who's going to manage that, right? What's the government entity, apparently the IRS, that's going to be tasked 24/7 or year to year with making sure that no bleepity bleep makes a penny over $999 million and you know 99 cents or whatever, and even then, why do you care so much? Why does that upset you so much? And if you're a Trotskyist, or at least a one-time Trotskyist like Bernie Sanders, or someone like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, nothing, I guess, upsets you more than somebody having $1 billion. That just makes you so spitting angry that you can't even sleep at night, and you've got to commence with your revolution to make sure that there aren't any more billionaires. It's kind of a sick, psychological, ideological thing.
Yeah. Now, you point out in your article, Bernie is no beggar. Tell us about Bernie Sanders, and how wealthy is he?
Well, he's worth at least $2 million, and he acknowledged to the New York Times last year that he is a millionaire. But Politico last May said, and this is an exact quote, that Sanders is a three-home-owning millionaire with a net worth approaching at least $2 million, which I think is probably, in fact, that's definitely conservative, Jerry, because he just bought, he and his wife, Jane, with cash, $575,000, a summer home in the Champlain Islands. Lake was like 500 feet of Lake Champlain beachfront. I call it Bernie's dacha.
On
the Black Sea.
Yeah, explain that for those who don't know about the communists and stuff in the Soviet Union.
A lot of your listeners probably do. I knew you'd appreciate that. But in the old Soviet days, the party apparatchiks and again the one percenters of society. If you were a Communist Party fat cat kingpin, you know, you weren't making the same amount of money that all the serfs were required to make. You were given more than everybody else, more property than everybody else, and you were rewarded with a nice little residence on the Black Sea. They gave you a nice little home. And you know, so I call this Bernie's dacha on the Black Sea. I guess to Bernie's credit, he at least paid for it with his own cash. But he dropped over a half mil on that. He and Jane back in 2009 bought a colonial home in Burlington, Vermont for $405,000, which I looked this up a day or two ago. That's now appraised at, I think, close to $600,000. They recently spent about $500,000, $489,000 to be exact, for a row house in Washington, D.C. So those three homes alone, Jerry, are probably worth, you know, pushing $2 million.
Where does he get this money? Is this from book sales? I mean, where does he get this?
Well, some of it, I think, is from book sales, but most of it, I think, and some is from his wife. A lot of this is just from a lifetime of working for government. I don't know where else exactly he is. In fact, we had a demand that he tells us, right? That's where they're demanding that of Donald Trump all the time. And it's so important to them to find out how much everybody makes. They consider it their business. I don't consider it my business at all. And by the way, if he's worth at least $2 million, that's fine with me, right? But I'm not the one complaining about other people's wealth.
Right.
So, I don't know where he gets all of it. But add to this, the guy's been chronically campaigning, nonstop campaign for president since, 2015, and everything that he does on the campaign trail, that's all expense paid. All of his meals, all of his transportation, and when he goes from place to place, he's always staying in the nicest hotels. And when he's not doing that, he's probably staying at different places on the government's coin as a U.S. senator. So I'd love to see a full cost accounting of exactly how much money the guy takes, right? That you know, how much of it comes at the expense of taxpayers. And again, it normally wouldn't matter to me, but when we're dealing with somebody who's guilty of such hypocrisy here, mm-hmm. Billionaires should not exist. Maybe this is part of our business.
You know, it's interesting, too. Both of us are coming at this from a Christian perspective, and we think about the time-honored tradition, the idea of the seven deadly sins, one of which is envy, or we think about
right.
in the Ten Commandments, one of the Ten Commandments, well, actually depends on how you read it, but anyway, thou shalt not covet. This is one of the commandments, thou shalt not covet. And yet, in effect, what Bernie's doing and his minions, billionaires should not exist. It's a form of coveting. It's a form of envy.
It is. Yeah, it is. It's covetousness, right? No question. Envy, absolutely class envy. I mean, they're definitely stoking class envy. And I was going to say something else there. You never hear them, Jerry, ever complaining about government greed, right? Let's say you had somebody, I don't know what Bill Gates is worth. Let's say he's worth $10 billion, right? If they're going to suddenly take over $9 billion of that to get the guy under $1 billion and take that and give it to the government, is that not greed on the government's part, right?
Yeah.
Why is that fair? Who died and made the government God,
right? Yeah, and by the way, a lot of times they're doing that, they're stealing. Oh, there's another commandment, thou shalt not steal.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And the idea that if you can just get enough power, Castro-like especially, or the old Soviet Politburo, or maybe in Bernie's case, if you get enough oblivious millennials to vote for him for president, then he could have enough political power to try to enact policies to take all that money. But if they did, wouldn't that be a form of greed?
Yeah.
Can you only have private sector greed? And why are the billionaires, why do we even assume that they're greedy? They didn't steal that money. Barack Obama and AOC said just the other day, right, that you didn't make that. You didn't make that widget. Actually, they did make it. They earned the money. And it's only fair, talk about fairness, to let them keep it, or at least keep most of it. Gee.
And going back to the commandments, when it comes to the communist countries, okay, we're talking about Castro and the Soviet Union. Thou shalt do no murder. That's in the Ten Commandments. And they murdered all kinds of people to get their socialistic, communistic ways put into place. And Bernie...
And thou shalt not steal.
Yeah, that, right? Exactly. And Bernie apparently had his honeymoon in the Soviet Union. Did Bernie actually say that he didn't mind the bread lines or something like that? Tell us about Bernie and the old Soviet Union.
Well, and he actually admits as well that it was a honeymoon to the Soviet Union. In fact, I think the year was 1987 or 88. I think it was Stavropol, I believe was the country in the old Soviet Union.
Wow.
Yeah, he actually went there, and there's video of a guy. It was great when this actually came out. It was a Vermont public television station that had video of it. But you could go online and look. There's Bernie with his shirt off, with a bunch of other American progressives, and they're around a table with different Soviet officials drinking vodka, and you can't make this up. It sounds like a Saturday Night Live parody. They're singing "This Land Is Your Land."
Oh my goodness!
the old communist Woody Guthrie's collectivist classic, right? This land is your land. This land is my land.
What about bread lines? Did he say something about bread lines? Oh, who cares about the bread lines? Something like that.
He did say something about the bread lines. I don't have a quote in front of me, so I won't try to. But yeah, he did. Yeah, he tolerated a comment about bread lines.
Yeah, he didn't.
It was pretty bad.
Yeah. Okay. We have 20 seconds left. Any comments on Venezuela? Has he ever mentioned Venezuela? Has he acknowledged it?
Yeah, it's a good question. So part of it, I think, why we have some of these really bad quotes from Bernie on Cuba is that Bernie was at the kind of height of his recklessness, socialist recklessness in the 80s, and wasn't ever probably planning on running for president and didn't think the country would ever vote for him. So we have a lot of those from the 80s. With Chavez coming in, I think that was more around 2000. And he's made some bad statements about Venezuela as well, but I'm not aware of any Venezuela statements that are quite as bad as some of his Castro envy statements.
Sure. Okay, Paul Kanger, always a pleasure. Visionandvalues.org.
Visionandvalues.org. Also listed under faithandfreedom.com as well.
Faith and Freedom. Okay, thanks, Paul. Always a pleasure.
All right, Jerry.
Bye-bye.